So here we are at the end of our freedom series. How good has it been? I don't know about you, but I've just gotten so much out of it. And in the spirit, I can just hear those chains just falling off us as we just embrace this freedom that we're learning about through the book of Galatians. Thank you, Paul. We've had some awesome teaching on this, and today is the last one. And some of my fellow leaders who have spoken did object lessons. I love an object lesson. I did children's ministry for 20 plus years, and there's nothing like an object lesson. So not to be left out, I've decided to do my favourite one for you today. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so Galatians, the Church of Galatians takes place in a historical context where there's been a massive shift in the cosmos. Jesus Christ has come to earth and he has not removed the law but fulfilled the law. So we've got this scene where we're not very good at not sinning, turns out. We've got all these rules, we can't follow them. And our relationship with God that was intended to be a clear, open relationship has been getting muddy. We have been sinning. We've got original sin. Come on, shout out your favourite sins. What do you got? Hey, gambling. Ooh, that's a bad one. We need lots. Unforgiveness, nasty. Pride is a big one. Criticism. Lust, not doing good. Oh, the kids are much better at this. They're like whacking each other over the head, being a bully, pulling each other's hair, stealing people's lollies. What else you got? You guys aren't very creative sinners. Hey? Speeding. Anything else? We've got lots of sin left. We're not out of sin yet. This is still full. Pardon? Gossip. Oh, that's a hairy line. That one, is it? We're praying for them. We're talking about them. But are we gossiping? That's a very, very tender line. Anyway, you get the idea. So this is what's happened. This is what's happened in the period before Jesus. We've got this. We cannot communicate with God. The waters are too muddy. And God is like, these guys are hopeless. They're never going to be able to, like, do the right thing. So what he does is he sends his son, Jesus, to bear the burden of sins, to fulfill the law. And so he comes along and this represents his blood. And he pours it in and we get this scene back where we are restored. Amen. We can see God again. We can hear from God again through the power of his spirit. So that's what's happened. And now Paul has got the task of bringing all these people who felt the pull of the spirit, the vibration of the spirit has been calling them. And now they've gathered together in probably one of the biggest and weirdest social experiments that have ever happened before. We've got the rich people, we've got the poor people, we've got the religious people, we've got the pagans, we've got the women, we've got the men, we've got the servants, we've got the masters. They're all in there together and it's not going well. It's not going well. Everyone's like, oh, I should be doing this, should be doing that, especially the people who have been observing law. So we are now in the last chapter of Galatians and I'm going to get my brother to read that, if you don't mind, Adam. Thank you. He's got a great reading voice.
Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then, when they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Well, not much in that, hey? It's like being trying to like eat an elephant, this thing for me. But anyway, I'm going to give you my best shot at it. So what I'm trying to really pull out of this is this beautiful family language that Paul uses. It's at the end of Galatians, and Galatians is believed to be one of his earlier letters. It's either the first or the second. It's up against 1 Thessalonians. But anyway, he's got a lot in there. Like, this is foundational stuff. And it's towards the end of the letter. He's a little bit grumpy. And he's like, bang, 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 bang. These are all the things. We need to do these things. And so I'm going to go through what I think the Spirit is on today. So we're going to start with restoration, which is the work of the Spirit. We're going to talk about interdependence. And we're going to talk about growing where you're planted, doing good in your own home. So this is basically the breakup of the scripture. Don't be alarmed. It's very top heavy. So the first sentence gets about 8 slides. But the rest of it really, yeah, it's quicker. So bear with me. All right. So here we go. Brothers and sisters. Now that's a happy thing, isn't it? It shows us that it's family business. It's within the community, and it's also just relaxing because then we're talking about sin, and that means that we can sin and still be part of the community. It's not like you're out because you sin. So, brothers and sisters, if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, so who are the spiritual ones? Hopefully we're all spiritual. Hopefully everyone in this room is walking in step with the Spirit. It's not just for the leaders or the pastors. You get to partake in this as well. So we who are spiritual, which is us all together, are to restore such a person who's been caught in sin, in a spirit of gentleness. Now, this word restore is really interesting. So it's the idea of something being dislocated. So if you're looking at a body, it's like a medical thing. It's a dislocated limb and we need to put it back in place. So there we're getting the picture of like, this is like a group activity. It's not just about one person, this sin, it's about all of us. The only other time that this particular word is used is in the case of the mending of the nets. So with the mending of the nets, I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was John and James mending their nets. And it talks about mending relationships, about sewing everything back together so that it's a functional thing. It's kind of got like ideas of reputation put in it. So like if someone in our church, for example, was doing something horrendous, it'd make us look bad, right? So it's this idea that together rather than individually, we have reputation, we have work to do, and you can't go around doing work. You can't go around catching fish, catching men, if you've got a big hole in your net. So this talks about the restoring of people to their proper place within this, within the body, within the community, because we can't work as a body if people aren't in alignment, aren't in the right space, aren't in unity. So what we've got is this situation in the church, not our church hopefully, but in the past, we could either go like someone's caught in sin. And when we say caught in sin, we don't mean, oh, you got caught. We mean entangled, can't get out. So we've got a choice. We could either condemn them, cut them off, you know, convict them, judge them, push them aside. Or we can go into just apathy. Oh, she'll be right. You know, that'll be fine. Just sweep it under the carpet. No one will notice. The effects of it won't be seen. No one can tell. Not true. Both of those things are fleshly responses. But the spiritual response is this third way, you know. And I love the third way, the way of the Spirit, the way of Jesus. How many times have you looked at a situation and you're like, well, I've got this choice or that choice? But no, Jesus makes a way through his incredible creative spirit that we need to just tune into and hear. So many times I'm like, well, that's going to go badly.
ta-bang, Jesus restores. So that's exciting to know that we've got this creative energy that we can draw on to be able to find creative solutions, to find the third way. Okay, I just wanted to talk about just a quick one on how Jesus demonstrated this. So there's this really cool story. It was really hectic, actually. He's teaching in the temple and the Pharisees come along. They bring a lady who's been caught in adultery. In the very act, they say. They bring her before Jesus and says, you know, it's the law of Moses that we need to stone this woman. Jesus smells a rat. Like the actual scripture says, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. So the whole thing wasn't really about the lady. It was more about trying to get Jesus to, you know, vote for condemning her or sweeping it under the carpet, which neither of them fulfill the law, do they? Like, and that's what he's about, fulfilling the law. So why does it reek of a rat? Well, I'm pretty sure it takes two people to be caught in adultery, for starters. So where's the guy, you know? And like, it's a setup for sure. And so then Jesus says something that is amazing. First he gets down on the ground and he starts writing something in the dirt. What do you think he's doing? Doesn't say what he's writing, but I just imagine he's like, help God, they've got me between a rock and a hard place. And then the Spirit comes and the Spirit says, let he who is without sin throw the first stone. Boom. That's amazing. That's genius. That's Jesus. Game, set, match. Pharisees, see you later. Off they went. And then Jesus gently restores her and says, you know, don't do that again. You're forgiven. And just as an aside, I said to God, oh, yeah, but that's Jesus. He can go around forgiving people in your name. And he's like, you can do that too. You know who I am. You can say that God will forgive you because we know his character. And I was like, oh, good to know. So then what have we got? So this has always been a bit comedic to me. So it says, restore, each one looking to yourself so that you're not tempted as well. And I always imagine this scene where you're like, oh, I went to talk to such and such about the gossiping that they're doing. And I came away thinking, gee, that Brad really is a piece of work. And I'm happy to talk to anyone I can about it. Sorry, Brad, just an example. or I went over to such and such's house and I wanted to talk to her about her alcohol problem. And she cracked a really nice red. And we got talking and I really liked it. And now I've bought a whole case and I'm planning on getting back into it tonight. You know, I was just like, what is that? Are these people, like, what are they doing? Anyway. I knew this was coming up and I'd been looking at the scripture, just glancing at it kind of thing, about 3 weeks ago. And I prayed a prayer and I said, God, could you please help me to do this in your spirit? I want a revelation of what to share with your people. And the very next day, God showed me someone that was in wrongdoing, that was transgressing. And I was like, oh... I'm not going to say anything. It's not that bad. I was like on the side of apathy. It's fine. It'll be okay. No one will know. It's all good. But then obviously, like, I want to do this well. And I haven't been very good at this because I don't like it. I don't consider myself judgy. Anyway, I finally got my gentle spirit on, which is the fruit of the spirit, and went to this person, had the conversation, felt that I stayed in the spirit while I did it, tried to do it kindly, didn't go that well. They were a bit like, it's not that bad. Don't know what you're talking about. You know, things will be right. And I was like, okay, well, I did it. So I was like, well done, Laura. You did a really good job there. And then when I started thinking about it, I was like, if I was that person and someone had said that to me, I think I'd be owning it a bit more. I think I'd be taking steps to get over that. And then God just tapped me on the shoulder. I was like, excuse me. That is what I'm talking about in this scripture. Not tempted to do the sin, tempted to judge, tempted to get into my pride. So that was me. And I like the way the message puts it. It says, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. That was me. So, Interesting, hey, very interesting. And that's the thing. None of us here have got to the glory of God. We've all fallen short. We know it. Everyone knows it. We're not pretending. This isn't a place of pretense. We're trying to be authentic here. We all have struggles. All right, now I'm going to move on. The next bit of the scripture says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Each one should carry their own load. This is confusing. It seems a bit contradictory. Up the top, we've got carry each other's burden. Down the bottom, we've got each one should carry their own load. So I had a look at it, and carry is the verb for both of them, so it's something that we carry around. But load, which is the one that I want to start off with, is like your own personal load. So the things that you do to keep your own life running. So you might have your vocation, your family relationships, your children to look after, your past, your habits, your giftings, your predispositions, your personality, your responsibilities, your ministry. And they're the things that God has given you to steward. They're the things that you're responsible for. So actually, I'll just show you the next. So this is the stuff that we're responsible for ourselves. This is our load. You know, these are the giftings and things that God's given us. And this is what we get around with. And this is what we're responsible for. Okay? We shouldn't be depending on someone else to, you know, pay our bills, feed our kids, do all that kind of stuff. We need to work that out for ourselves. That's our stewardship of the things that the Lord's given us. So this is our load, right? And so we get around like that most of the time. And then what happens is, as with anyone's life, burdens fall upon us. So, burdens are things like pain, illness, loss, relationship breakdowns, accidents, trauma, and even opportunities can be a burden as well because they take the focus off the things that we've committed to, right? So I can carry this around quite easily, but if I wanted to carry this around with me all the time, it'd be very difficult. I'd need someone to come, and at least one other person, to come along here and carry the burden with me. You know, like, and that's the joy of being in a spiritual community that's following the example of Jesus. I have a predisposition between independence. I do it myself. I'm fine. I'm not always fine. Some things happen that are hard for me to carry, and I need people to help me. On the other end of the scale, you might have someone who's like, oh man, poor me, I need help with everything. I can't get on with it. Maybe it's mental illness, in which case, of course, that comes in the burden categories and we should get alongside. But if it's laziness or just like a bad attitude, then that's not great either. And so in the middle of all this, there's this idea that God gives us of being interdependent, of being able to carry our own load whilst bearing the burdens of others, whilst coming alongside them in their time of need and loving them and caring for them. And, like, that's God, isn't it? I mean, God we should be dependent on, probably, completely, but he's in amongst all that as a community. So that's the difference between this thing here of carrying each other's burden and carrying your own load. And sometimes we just need to have a look at our own load. Like, is there stuff in that bag that I shouldn't be carrying, perhaps? And that's the stuff that we're going to stand before God and be judged on in the ultimate thing. So, anyway, moving right along. So this stuff here, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please their spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. We've had some excellent teaching on this. Brad and Benny just in the past few weeks have talked a lot about how to sow into the spirit. This one here is particularly around money. We can talk freely about money in this place because it's in its proper place. It's a servant. It's not a master. So we're not going to be in hushed tones and all money, money. So what this is saying is grow where you're planted. Sow into the place that God has put you in. In this case, it's this church. And you might say, well, of course you'll say that, Laura. You're the pastor's wife. And yes, that is true. But I don't say it because we need money, though. We probably could do some more. Why? Because we have big vision for this place. We have God-inspired ideas that need resources to be able to come to fruition. And, like, that's the way it's always been because the call of God's huge on this place and we're always just trying to make the next thing happen, you know. So you can be a part of that. When I first came to faith, Bradley had been walking along in the faith and he was in a full habit of being generous with tithes and offerings and all that kind of thing, and I was a bit grumpy about it. I was like, oh, okay. But as I've matured as a Christian and gone through life, I've seen the blessing that comes with sowing into the place that you're planted, you know. Like every church that we've been to, that we planted into, when that comes to harvest time, we are going to be part of that harvest. We're going to reap the benefits of that. And the same is true here. Look, you can come along and decide not to sow into this place financially, and that's totally fine. But or you can go off and you can do your online sermons and things like that. But this place is here so that you can be known and so that you can know each other, so that you can have an intimate family relationship. This is the family budget. And so when we sow into a place, it says that where our treasure is, our heart is also. And we start to invest. We start to put skin in the game. We start to be concerned about the outcomes of where these resources are going. And it's a beautiful thing because then we're co-laborers. We're family. We're trying to see where God's going and how we can sow our resources into it. And then when the burdens come, when you fall into sin, people are going to know you. They're going to know that you need support, that you need help. It's just the beautiful Christian life. And it's the power that we have as Christians that a lot of people don't have. Every week we get together. We know each other's circumstances. We love on each other. You know, it's gorgeous. And this is just another way. This whole thing is about how do we do good? How do we love each other? And one of the ways that we can do good in this place is to sow financially into it and be part of the reaping that comes with it. So this whole idea of sowing and reaping, if you like, you can't get a mango off a peach seed kind of thing, is the idea. And that's the principle of it. But I just want to say one thing, and Paul is getting a bit grumpy and he's getting a bit hard in his terminology. The rest of the Bible speaks of this too. Who knows that sometimes you sow in death but you reap in life with God? Who knows that sometimes his grace comes and turns you away from the dark things? There's so many times in my life where that grace has given me not what I deserved but what I didn't deserve. And that's the thing that wants to make me sow in the field of the spirit, not in the field of death, so that I could reap a harvest of all those beautiful, beautiful spiritual fruits that we have been hearing about. So, yeah, it's just that idea that in general, yes, you reap what you sow, but it's not karma. God's the CEO of the universe. He can change the system whenever he wants. All we have to do is come before him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do it your way. I want to sow into the field of the spirit, not into the field of death. And he's so gracious and kind and loving that that's what he'll do for you. So it's never too late. Alrighty. Let's have a look. What else we got? Nearly there. Oh, don't become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary. You know, sometimes the money that you've been sowing into the church, they just don't realise their goals. The person who's been living in sin, they're not getting any better. In fact, it's a slippery slope and they're getting worse. You know, sometimes you're doing all this good stuff and you're not seeing any harvest at all, none at all. But that's when we come back to faith and we look at the Lord and we say, we know who you are. We know your goodness and your kindness. And so we keep going, you know, and that is what happens when we get to heaven. We will see it all, even if we don't see it now. But I pray that you do. I pray that you do see a harvest of righteousness in your own life. William Booth said it's like walking, you know, you've got one step's work, one step's faith, one step's work, one step's faith, until you can't really tell the difference. You just keep going. Faith and works, faith and works, faith and works. And then you get to the harvest of righteousness that we're all believing for. Just one final thought. You guys have been amazing. There's a lot in this. It just says, do good to all people, especially to those who belong in the family of believers. Now, this has been very much a foundational text on how we should behave as believers towards each other. And I believe that the reason that God wants us to start with the people in this room is because this is the way we show the glory of God on earth, by our love for one another. So how do we do that? It says that the law of Christ is love, and this is what love looks like in a spiritual family. Being willing to restore our brothers and sisters in gentleness and humility when they fall away. Bearing one another's burdens, carrying our own load, sowing into the kingdom with our resources, and having faith to complete the work and faith to see the harvest. Amen. So these are the things that Galatians is trying to teach us. These are the things that Paul is trying to teach us. These are the things that the Lord is trying to teach us. And they're just the same today as they were back in Galatia in the day. If we do these things, we are going to be a light on a hill. We're going to be the ones that people look to see their way in the dark places of the world, to find their restoration with the creator of the universe. Just as we bear each other's burdens, Jesus bore our burden of sin, didn't he? And so, I just would really like now for the worship team to come up. Thank you for listening, guys.